Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Welcome to this special weekend podcast we do for you every other weekend. We like to highlight some of the really great interviews we do on the radio show. It's not due to me, but great guests, and you deserve to hear from them. If you'd like to listen to the radio show live, go to Bongino.com any weekday. Click on Station Finder to find out where there's a station near you. We've got a great lineup for you this weekend as well. Let me get to our first sponsor. Hey, you having trouble sleeping or staying asleep? Trust me, I've been there. I'm there a lot. It's not just about feeling tired the next day. It's about the toll poor sleep can take on every aspect of your life. But guess what? There's hope on the horizon. Comes in the form of Beams Dream Powder. The stuff's been a game changer for me. You see, when we're sleeping well, we can be sharper, more focused, and ready to tackle whatever life throws our way. And today, my listeners get a special discount on Beams Dream Powder. It's a science-backed hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep's never tasted better. Other sleep aids can cause the next day grogginess. We don't like that. But Dream contains a powerful, all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. You want to try it? Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, where Beam is now offering Bongino listeners an exclusive discount. Get up to 45% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Bongino and use code Bongino at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/Bongino. Or use code Bongino for up to 45% off. shopbeam.com/Bongino. First up today, we talk with Sean Parnell about what's going on in Pennsylvania and how important that state is for the upcoming election. All right, nobody knows more about Pennsylvania politics. Nobody I know, at least. Shouldn't make categorical statements, but nobody I know than this guy. He's a good friend. He's a patriot, served our country, ran for office. He keeps up with everything going on in Pennsylvania politics. And I'm telling you, folks, it is all about Pennsylvania. It is not a local or state issue. It is the issue. Welcoming to the show, I don't think he's been here for a while. He should be more. Sean Parnell. Sean, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, not having you more is a sin. I blame Jim, so he should seek confession. Father Marty, reach out. I kid. Jim, it's not in any way Jim's fault. I got to stay on top of this stuff. I need to have you on more. So you and I text a lot, and you know Pennsylvania politics well. You ran there. The establishment folks there really hate your guts. You've been a really solid Trump supporter. No, it's a badge of honor for a guy like yourself. You served the country.
Yes.
Right? And I tried to make point earlier in the show that this election is about Pennsylvania for really a big reason here. Donald Trump can lose Pennsylvania and still win, but Kamala Harris cannot. If she loses Pennsylvania, this race is essentially over. And CNN's own political analyst, CNN, Harry Enten, who's been pretty honest about the polls, he's saying, listen, she is in real trouble there. I've had Pressler on about this. What is your take? This is a big assumption now. Sorry for the long predicate here, but assuming it is a clean election, which is a big assumption, what's your take on Pennsylvania and the Trump momentum there?
Yeah, well, first of all, you are absolutely right. I mean, Trump wins Pennsylvania, it's over, right? And you are also right in that Trump has multiple paths to the White House without Pennsylvania. Of course, it'd be ideal to win as many states as you can, especially Pennsylvania. But Kamala has won, and it runs right through the Keystone State. And having had my name on the ballot before, you can tell a lot about a campaign, not by what they're saying. You can't listen to anything that these commie mouth breather Democrats say, because they say one thing and they do another all the time. You got to watch what they do. And the fact that Kamala has been in Pittsburgh, in Western Pennsylvania, in my hometown, 50 plus days before the election, not just spending one day, she spent five freaking days there, locked down in a hotel room with a Trump impersonator, made sure that the guy wore a long tie to make sure he looked and sounded like Donald Trump, and just immersed herself in debate prep. So I'm just telling you, Dan, Pennsylvania is a very, very heavy lift for Kamala, primarily because in the West, which is right where she is, it is chock full of blue collar union Democrats, pro-life, pro-gun Democrats. They're going to have a real hard time buying what she's selling. I come from a family of union Democrats that worked in the steel industry in Western Pennsylvania, Dan. And these people, first of all, they'll never change their registration from Democrats. It's just how they are. But they're more pro-Trump than my Republican family members. And so I can't drive outside of my hometown, outside of my house, You drive 30 minutes in any direction, Dan, and you will drive through a town that was left behind by politicians, Democrat and Republican politicians, and Kamala Harris's policies, her economic policies, her fiscal policies, her policies on oil and gas, will just further crush these small towns. And people know it. Yeah. People know it, Dan. Yeah. And Trump came along and said, I haven't forgotten you.
Yeah. We're talking to Sean Parnell, a former candidate, hosts his own program, served the country and our military heroically, and again, knows more about Pennsylvania, has forgotten more about Pennsylvania than most people know, their politics. Sean, another problem that they have with Kamala Harris in Pennsylvania, and again, folks, just to dial back to where I started this segment in the beginning of the show, CNN did a massive hit piece on Kamala. And they're the ones, I think, that are starting to see the writing on the wall, that if this breaks bad tonight, she's in real trouble. No red wave talk, but she's in real trouble. But you know, again, being intimately involved in Pennsylvania politics, that this was factored in never as a swing state. This was factored in as kind of an easy take, blue, you know, in the blue column with California, Illinois. The Republicans called it fool's gold for years because we never won Pennsylvania ever. And it's got this juicy body of, what is it, 19 electoral college votes? So it's really not the reason, Kamala, this is so important, is it's not just that she loses 19 electoral college votes. It's that that was already baked into her 270 electoral college vote cake. And then it flips plus 19 for Trump. So it's actually a difference of 38 because this was already factored in for them.
Oh, exactly. And the idea, by the way, that Trump was a danger, he might not win Pennsylvania, he's not moderate enough. Trump was the first Republican president to win Pennsylvania since George Bush. Give me a freaking break. He's wildly popular here. I know that this isn't empirical, but everywhere you go, Dan, there are signs. I mean, you see people walking for miles on the streets just to get to a Trump rally here. Trump is popular in Pennsylvania. And I'll also say this, like the vote by mail stuff, because I'm working a little bit on catching Republicans up on their vote by mail infrastructure. We've already banked more vote by mail votes here in this state than the entire 2022 cycle. And we're on pace to bank more than we did during the entire 2020 cycle. And we're 50 days out. And it ain't just that, Dan. The Democrats, as of last week, were 132,000 votes down from where they were in 2020. And look, the numbers don't lie. The Democrats, look, there are all sorts of problems with the 2020 election. We won't even get into that. But the Democrats, in order for them to win here, they got to have that floor, my friend. They got to have the floor of the mail-in ballots that they had during 2020. And right now, I mean, look, can they make it up? Absolutely. They can spend a ton of money and they can get there. You know, complacency kills. We don't get complacent. We campaign like we're 10 points down.
Please.
But I think the Democrats are starting to see writing on the wall that it's going to be tough.
Yeah. So, Sean, I need your take on this. As a guy, again, who's, I give credibility to opinions from people who put their names on ballots. No offense, anyone. I'm not trying to be a jerk. If I want to hear about the Green Bay Packers, I want to talk to the head coach. Doesn't mean I can't talk to the announcer, but the head coach just knows more. When I want to hear about Pennsylvania politics, I want to hear from a guy like you who's actually run because there was skin in the game. Like, you were actually knocking on doors. I have asked Laura Trump, President Trump himself, Scott Pressler and others, and I've gotten the same answer. Yet there are still some people out there telling people, don't vote early, wait for Election Day. Sean, the Department of Homeland Security, which I don't trust as far as I could throw them, has already put out a warning saying there could be an internet attack on Election Day. They're only doing that for one of two reasons. Either they believe it and you should vote early, or they don't believe it and they're up to shenanigans. And either way, you should vote early. Bank your vote. We can change the system afterwards, but I'm begging people, your opinion on this, please bank your vote. This is no time to screw around.
Well, listen, I'll give you a military analogy very quickly. Politics is just like war. The tactics, just without the bullets, Dan. You cannot signal to your enemy on the battlefield or here at home politically. You can't signal to your enemy how you fight, because if you show them how you fight, they adapt, evolve, and they overcome. And Democrats know Republicans have voted on Election Day. So as you said, you know, if there's bad traffic, kid has a baseball game, you work long hours, you're picking up overtime, internet attack, cyber attack, all manner of things can happen on Election Day that would prohibit people from voting. So you can get rid of all of that by just banking your vote early. Our military trusts, you know, our military uses that system to great effect. bank your vote. And what that also does is, first of all, if you're uncomfortable with that, you can still show up on election day and vote provisional, right? So you've got that option. But it allows us, as people who are running the show in Pennsylvania, to use our resources in a more strategic way to get out the vote. Like, if we know that you've already banked your vote, it's as simple as looking at an Excel spreadsheet and say, okay, you know, here you go. Yes. Johnny so-and-so banked his vote. Let's take our money and use it at the guy who didn't and get him out to vote. So it's just, it's win, win, win across the board. So embrace this. If you want to change the system, if you want to get rid of these mail-in ballots, which I'm completely on board with, but if you want to change the system, we got to fight the fight. We got to fight the fight with the rules on the political battlefield as they are.
Yeah, folks, again, this is why you bring on candidates. And it doesn't matter won or lost. They know the system. Sean ran in Pennsylvania. Sean brought up a point that I haven't brought up before. You brought up the money part, but there's a different part and a different angle. Not only do you come off the spreadsheet so I don't have to send you a mailer if I'm running because I know you voted. I just don't know who you voted for, yeah, which is another reason to vote. You save me money. But Sean has to go knock on doors with teams. If there's 1,000 yeah, extra doors in the neighborhood, I don't knock on because you already voted, then I can spend more time with the people who are still up in the air about who to vote for. This just makes tactical. Your military analogy is so spot on. Sean's telling you. Trump's telling you. Laura Trump's telling you. Pressler's telling you. I'm telling you. Please bank your vote. Sean, last question. I'll let you run the debate tonight. Again, Donald Trump doesn't, I don't mean to play word games. I'm not trying to be funny about it, but he doesn't need to win anything. The media is going to crush him anyway. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. He just needs to not lose. Kamala Harris doesn't have that luxury. Kamala Harris is getting crushed in the polls are fake. This Kamala momentum is fake. It's garbage. Even Nate Silver, who's not even one of us, is starting to acknowledge it. Your take on tonight, this is a must win for Kamala Harris. Trump just has to not lose.
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't agree more. And here's what this is all about. Polls, whatever. I don't care about the top line numbers. They're good for informing people of where we are as a country. Look at the issues. In poll after poll, the issues are what matter. The top issues, economy, inflation, immigration. Is the country on the wrong track? Poll after poll, 70% no. So what this election is going to come down to is who is going to be the change agent. If people put down their remotes, Dan, and they say, you know what? This country's on the wrong track, and Donald Trump is the guy that's going to get the country back on the right track. It's going to be a real good night for Donald Trump and likely a real good night in November for him as well. Any second that's spent talking about anything else about Trump has got to talk about, I would never tell Trump what to do because he knows what he's doing. The economy, inflation, tell people that you understand where they're coming from, that you understand their pain, and call Kamala out for her flip-flopping on every single issue. But the bottom line is, be the change agent. Doesn't matter about anything else. Be the change that people need and desperately want in this country right now.
I agree with you 100%. He doesn't need our advice. He smoked Joe Biden. He's already won handily 2 Republican primaries and disposed of some really good debaters. He doesn't. But what you said is not inaccurate. He just needs to do exactly what he did in the Biden debate, which is let these two communists talk themselves into a circle. And what was his response? He looked at Biden at one point in the moment of the night, which the minute it happened, we said it. And he said, I don't even know what he just said. I don't. That's it. That's all he needs to do. And he doesn't need to win. He just needs to not lose because the media won't let him win. Sean, we definitely got to have you back. It's a shame I don't have you on more, especially with the election coming up and your analysis of Pennsylvania. We appreciate your time and your service to the country. Thanks for coming on. Much appreciated.
You got it, my friend. Talk soon.
You got good man right there, Sean Parnell. Follow him on Truth and Twitter and everywhere. Good guy. He's not kidding. That's all Trump needs to do tonight. He does not need Dan Bongino's advice. I have not won the presidency. He has. I'm just telling you, as someone who gets paid to analyze this, if he just shows up and does what Donald Trump is fully capable of doing and has done in, 5, 6, 7 debates? Who knows? He will be just fine. Put all the pressure on Kamala Harris and make her invent her word salads. Once she starts talking about school buses and Venn diagrams, it's over. And then the school bus, it goes here and it goes here. Greatest clip ever. Coming up, my debate breakdown. This is important. Don't believe all the hype about the debate, but let's hear from our next sponsor. Hey, do you know there are reports of nearly $1 trillion of infrastructure and pandemic funds yet to be spent? That's right. There's a massive amount of money. The lame duck administration's pushing hard to spend in their last few months. Look it up. If Biden's able to push these funds out, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see another surge of inflation just like COVID. You remember how that was, right? It's still going on. The high prices. Another surge in prices, however, can be beaten. There's hope out there. A gold IRA from Birch Gold Group can be the ultimate inflation hedge for your savings in uncertain times. To see how to help protect your IRA or 401k, get your free info kit on gold by texting the word DAN to 989898. Birch Gold makes it seamless to roll over your retirement account while preserving your tax advantage status. Don't wait to see if the president's spending spree tanks the dollar further. Protect your financial future now. Text DAN to the number 989898 for your free info kit from Birch Gold. Message and data rates apply. Everyone's freaking out about the debate. Why? Do you have any reason to freak out about the debate? I want numbers. I don't want opinions. You shouldn't. Listen to my breakdown here and you'll see why. Folks, first, do not fall into left-wing messaging traps. I am begging you as your friend, please do not fall into the same trap that has been set for gullible suckers forever, which I know is not you. My gosh, Trump lost last night. He got crushed. He got killed. It's over. It's the end. Jim, they got him now, Jim. They got him now. The walls are closing in, folks. They're closing in. I'm going to get to all of it, I promise. Kamala Harris won. How'd she win? Oh, you got some evidence? No, I mean actual evidence. You're going to show me some big, huge shifts and more push polls? What about the betting markets where people's actual money's on the line? What about that? You're going to show me that? It's weird how they haven't changed when people are betting their own money. It's so strange. I'm going to get to all that, but I am not going to. I made a serious mistake on my podcast. I regret it. I was so passionate about the debate that I did not immediately, and I'm not making this mistake again, address that it is, in fact, one of the darkest days in American history, September 11th. I want to acknowledge the heroes, the civilians, the firemen, the EMS personnel, the paramedics, the dispatchers, the police officers, the ESU teams in New York, the people that perished on that day, that perished after that day, that perished from injuries caused that day. We say never forget. We mean never forget. We don't mean forget because the debate happened last night or anything else. It's a day I'll never forget. And I just want to take one small moment to recognize the Secret Service personnel who I worked with in the job. I was on the job back then, who died. And I also want to recognize the ESU, which is the New York City SWAT team, Emergency Services Unit, Truck 7 members that passed. Those Truck 7 members worked in the police precinct I worked in when I was a police officer, the 7-5. They had the garage. And I think to myself all the time, how many times when I was going out into an RMP, a police car to go out on patrol, how many times I passed some of those Truck 7 guys that didn't make it. May God rest your soul. God bless America and all those who defend her. Just never forget that. I'm very sorry I didn't start that way. It's sad the way politics infects your life that sometimes you really lose perspective on the big, big, big things. Not suggesting last night wasn't big. But getting back to that, I'm really stunned. I watched it live. Thank you to everyone who joined us on our live stream. We had a record audience of 349,000 people. So we really appreciate that. And me and Evita had a good time. Evita will be covering the second and third hour with Jim. I was not going to leave the first hour without talking about this debate. Jim's here with me, of course, always. Please don't fall in the trap. Folks, I am always consistent in my messaging to you. You know, here's the thing about lying. Do you notice? Listen, everybody's told a white lie. Some people have told serious lies. Some people tell serious lies a lot. Here's the thing about lying. Jim, tell me if I'm wrong. The thing about lying that's really hard is it's not the truth. Well, why does that make it hard? Right, Jim? Because then you got to remember what you said. If Jim walks around telling people his name is Johnny and then Tony, and then Francois. He's got to remember what he told everyone his name was. See, when Jim tells people his name, which is Jim, he doesn't have to remember what his name is. If people ask me how many kids do I have, I have to go, hold on, let me think about it. Seven? Four? No, I have two. I have two kids. It's not hard. See, here's the thing about lying. That's the great part about consistent messaging. Everything I tell you if it's a good night or a bad night, because it's going to be a North Star for you. I have insisted to you forever, having run for office, having been around politicians my entire, basically adult life at this point, in some way, shape, or form, campaigns and politicians are about two things. What are they? Thank you, Jim. Jim's like, I've cheated. I've only heard this 1,000 times. They are only about snapshots and sound bites. That is it. Anyone telling you otherwise is lying. Debates on the triage of snapshots and sound bites importance are number one. Nobody remembers debates. They remember a picture or a sound bite. No, Dan, that's not true. Okay, what was Barack Obama's third answer against Mitt Romney? You remember it all, right? What was it? Come on, guys, what was it? No, I'm not saying my P1s, I love you. But to the smart asses listening, Dan, you know what you told people remember debates. They don't care. Tell me, what was the third? I thought you knew. See, if you ask me right now how old my daughters are, I can tell you. I don't, because I know, because it's important. If debates are so important and every single answer and syllable matters, how come you don't remember what I just asked? But if I tell you this line and you're even remotely involved in politics, you will remember it. Yeah, what is it? The Rady's call and they want their foreign policy back. Oh, yeah, Obama said that. Then the joke about age to Walter Mondale. Oh, yeah, it was Reagan. And then George H.W. Bush looking at his watch. And then George W. Bush giving, what was it, Al Gore that look as he walked across the stage. And Michael Dukakis, when he's asked about if someone raped his wife, what he would do. People remember those. Those were game changers. Because, yeah, Reagan not using the age against Mondale. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. So I was referencing. People remember sound bites and snapshots, folks. That is it. So if you're going to sit here and tell me and fall in the liberal left-wing trap, and I would tell you if I think last night was a loss, because there's more than enough time for us to gain background, and Kamala Harris sucks so bad, I still wouldn't be in a panic. It was not a loss. It was at best a push for Kamala Harris, at best. And that's being generous. I'll prove it to you. Why the betting markets not change this morning? Even in the polls, you're going to see nothing outside of a margin of error shift at best. And the polls are worthless anyway, which also I've told you the whole time, because it all depends on how it's weighted. And of course, that they're going to do what they did with the fake Kamala bump, which I told you was fake. And I was right on. They're going to try to show Kamala gets a 1 point, 2 point bump after the bump. It's all fake, man. When I tell you campaigns are about snapshots and sound bites, the one thing people forget all the time is the snapshots portion. You really believe the pictures of Kamala Harris last night with that condescending, nasty look on her face the entire time, mocking and laughing at American citizens suffering as their real wages collapse, their jobs go away, they're priced out of the housing and rental market, filling up their gas tanks costs $150 to put a couple of gallons of gas in their tank. You really believe her sitting up there, you saw with the thinker look she had on? And then the smug thing. I did a little test on the podcast. You should do it too. Everybody forgets the snapshots portion. The side-by-sides of Kamala Harris as Trump is addressing the real problems the Biden-Harris economy has caused for Americans are priceless in the worst way possible. Go to your phone. Play any clip of Trump and Harris on the screen at the same time. Just hit the screenshot button and have it take like 100 screenshots. You can delete them all. Look at 90 of them. Tell me again she won last night. She looked everything from obstinate in the face of being confronted with the problems she caused America in their wallets and overseas, to in some cases mocking you, to in other cases looking like she's lecturing you like a professor. Meanwhile, what did Trump do? He kept the stern face on the whole night. Which, was it a win? Maybe not. Maybe he didn't look happy. Was it a loss? No. He was basically a tabula rasa last night on the snapshot side. He was a blank slate. If you think Trump's an angry guy, you looked at him and he's an angry guy. If you think Trump's a great guy, you're like, oh, he looks serious. In no way last night is anything that happened even remotely a loss. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. You fell right in the CNN, MSNBC trap, which I told you, did we not? I could waste your time with the clip. I said, if Kamala Harris shows up and is breathing and lies about everything, the entire debate, I just said it yesterday. I was trying to warn you. Left-wing media outlets will say, this was just unbelievable, a resounding. I mean, this is like Secretariat. I mean, this is like 25 horse lengths here. I mean, I've never seen anything. And a bunch of, not you guys again. I love you guys. You guys are the best. You see through it. A bunch of even soft conservatives parroted the narrative. Oh, my gosh, Trump, man, he really beat himself last. He did. He beat himself. You realize you said that same thing. The walls are closing in, guys. You realize you said that same thing probably close to 10,000 times. You understand that, right? Why should we listen to you now? On the soundbites front, if the soundbites last night were so great for Kamala Harris and it was a Secretariat-like win, 18 horse lengths ahead, why have almost none of Kamala Harris's soundbites gone viral? Why? Have you thought about this? There's that one moment, right? Remember Obama with Romney? The 1980s call. They want their foreign policy back. That was everywhere. Everywhere. Liberals were putting that on posters. They were crying. They were genuflecting. They were screaming chants. Jim, you remember the Raiders of Ark? After they said, they were chanting in front of Obama. Palm fronds were out. They were waving him down like he was the Messiah, the small M Messiah. They're like, that's the greatest line ever. Here's the chance. This is the chance. Close enough. Their Monty Python-like chants broke out. That's how they were in reverence to Barack Obama. Why haven't you seen any of that today? Well, let me answer the question, not just ask it. Because, folks, nothing Kamala Harris said last night was true. So the media is afraid to put any specific issue-based soundbite out there because they know they're going to get community noted into the phantom zone, or that even moderate Republican outlets are going to be like, here's what they'll do. They'll go, because they've got moderate Republican outlets just hate Trump. They'll preface it by saying, well, Trump lost last night, but. And then they'll put out the comic clip and go, but this isn't true. That's what they're afraid of. No one else noticed that? That's why this show is number one. That's why this show kicks ass and takes names. Because we tell you that no one else is going to tell you. Jim's like, how'd you just buzz yourself? I didn't. I just said, I don't have a buzzer button. I don't even have a cough button here. If I start coughing on the air, we're screwed. Why not? I don't know. I just don't. Listen to Brother Dan. Listen to Brother Dan. I'm telling you, last night was at best a push. Now, if your critique is going to be, well, Donald Trump could have said X better and Y better. Folks, there's not a single person who's ever debated in any political race ever, from past to now to perpetuity, who wouldn't love to answer 1,000 different things different. Me included. I've been in a lot of debates. That's not the point. If you're going to tell me ridiculously that Kamala Harris won that debate despite not stating a single factual thing about an issue of substance, and the ABC News debaters/moderators/debaters attacking Trump, I'm going to ask you to back it up. Give me a single receipt to show me that's true, because I've got receipts showing me you're faking it. One of your favorite guests, Julie Kelly's coming up next about all of the January 6th Secret Service stuff. This is just a fantastic interview, but our next sponsor first. Listen, one of the biggest questions I get from the listeners is, hey, how do I help grow the parallel economy in the conservative fight? Well, you got to know where your dollars are going. A lot of these credit card companies are funneling millions to left-wing causes and candidates, and they hope you don't notice. But now you have a choice. Coin, C-O-I-G-N, is America's conservative credit card. Find them at coign.com. With every transaction, you can help Coin advance conservative causes and charities at no cost to you. Coin empowers us to take back our country with every swipe, and it's a great-looking credit card you'll love using. It's bright red with We the People on the front. Coin works everywhere Visa's accepted, comes with a 100% U.S.-based customer service and consumer protections. It's the only card worthy of your wallet. Start earning cash back while fighting the lib agenda today. Apply now at coin.com at coign.com. Be sure to select Dan Bongino in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Terms apply. Go to coin.com/disclosure for full details. Thanks, Coin. Julie Kelly came on to talk about the latest stories breaking in the weaponization of government against Donald Trump trials and the January 6th pipe bomb case. This is an interesting interview. Check this out. So there are three specific areas that I know, again, the outer perimeters of my knowledge, and I know someone who knows so much about them that when I talk about them, I want to have her on. The pipe bomber on January 6th, the Twinkies case up in New York, and the special tyrant Jack Smith case down in D.C., and that's Julie Kelly. She actually goes there, sits in the court sometimes. Nobody knows the cases better than her. We've got some massive legal updates on the weaponization of government. I want to welcome her back to the show. Julie, so good to have you today. Thanks for coming on.
Dan, thank you so much for having me on. As always, lots to cover this week.
Yeah, a ton. So let's get right to it. Let's do it in kind of reverse order. We will definitely get to the pipe bomber before, because I've got an update on that and want your take on it. But Judge Merchant up in New York, the Alvin Bragg case, so has delayed the sentencing till after the election. Now, I warned my audience, and again, you're a strong woman. You disagree if you think I'm crazy. This is not a win. Judge Merchant, I think, clearly knows he's got an evidence problem after the Supreme Court case, admitting the whole Hicks testimony and others. He realizes if he tries to jail Trump, it'll probably be expedited through the courts and tossed. He's just doing this after the election, hoping Trump loses, the political momentum dies, so he can toss him in Rikers.
You are absolutely correct, and I will tell you why. 2 days before the sentencing hearing that was scheduled for September 18th, which is now delayed until after the election, Judge Merchant on his own, and we talked about this, was going to issue an order based on the Supreme Court opinion on immunity. He was going to issue an order very likely saying that Trump's conviction in the New York case is not covered by presidential immunity, even though the timing of it all happened when he was president. He was going to single-handedly say this was personal private conduct not covered in the Supreme Court immunity ruling. Well, what happens after that, Dan? Any immunity court order, any court order related to an immunity issue is automatically appealed. Pretrial is called an interlocutory appeal. This is one of the few circumstances where this can happen. Pretrial would be automatically appealed and all proceedings would be halted, including the sentencing. So this is his way of CYA, right? Because now he can look like he's trying to be magnanimous when his immunity order 2 days earlier, when he would come back and say it wasn't covered under the Supreme Court ruling, everything would be stayed as the appeal went forward. So you are right. This is not, a big, it is a win, but only, with some context there.
Right. This is one of those you can't quit, you're fired moments where it's like he knows he's in trouble. So again, he's trying to look like he's taking some kind of legal high road when in fact he's doing nothing of the sort. He actually boxed himself into a really precarious legal corner. But that interlocutory appeal, that's a brilliant addition. So see, that's why I like to have you on. I know you follow this stuff. Let's get to another case, too. You pointed this out. I was freezing my butt off in the cold plunge this morning, and I always read your tweets, especially about the special tyrant Jack Smith case, about the January 6th alleged insurrection peacefully and patriotically in D.C. And Judge Chutkan also has moved that case. And a bunch of people yesterday, I know you saw it. I'm not knocking anyone, folks. Don't take it personal. Sometimes, I you see something you want to celebrate. We're like, wow, this is great. Like a little bit of a win. That's not going to happen until after the election. But you pointed out something on your Twitter feed, and I saw Playbook this morning reiterated that that's not what happened at all. Judge Chutkan is giving Jack Smith an opportunity a week before the election to do something kind of, sort of, right? Explain to the audience.
Yeah, so first of all, I want to emphasize, and if people have not covered or seen my tweet thread on this yesterday after I left the courtroom, this is why we need cameras in the courtroom, Dan. The American people should have seen not just her conduct, her eye rolling, her snide comments on the side to get laughter from the anti-Trump courtroom, her folding her arms and holding up her hand and interrupting Donald Trump's lawyer, John Lauro, while, of course, appeasing everything that Jack Smith, who was also in the courtroom yesterday, and his prosecutors were saying. But the more egregious statements that she made, that the election schedule has no place in her courtroom. Now, she has said this for over a year. She said it again yesterday. She also hinted that whatever immunity order she comes back with the existing elements of Jack Smith's now watered down indictment, her immunity order, which will, again, just like we're expecting from Judge Mershon, to say the interactions between Vice President Pence and Donald Trump were private and personal, not covered by a Supreme Court immunity order, that she knows that will be reversed. She said that in court yesterday. Imagine a federal judge laughing off a Supreme Court ruling and then saying, I know I'm going to order this. I'm going to issue an opinion this week, but it will be reversed. I don't care is the subtext to that, because she will advance this case. She was angry. She was irritated. You could tell that she feels she's offended at the Supreme Court reversing her immunity order, the original one last year. And furthermore, Chief Justice John Roberts taking digs at her for not doing her due diligence on this historical matter. She also said this case has nothing to do with the presidency of the United States. This is the historic presidential immunity case in American history. And she's treating it like a 4-count indictment against a drug dealer in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Julie, you're there in the courtroom. It's clear as day. She's a politician. She's not acting as a judge at all. I mean, follow her on Twitter. She's at Julie_Kelly, the number two, at Julie_Kelly, the number two. If you want updates on the weaponization trials, let's get to the January 6th. You have a book about January 6th. It's called January 6th. That's the title. If you want to pick it up, it is a definitive account of what happened that day. I want to address two things I got from a whistleblower, let's say a couple of weeks ago, a guy who was there, Julie, photos to back it up. I know exactly who this guy is. His bona fides are unimpeachable. Like I said, there, got all the evidence packaged up. He passed some interesting stuff to us. There's been a lot of speculation. I think you and I in the audience know there were FBI assets in the crowd. That's not breaking news. But this guy confirmed it to me. And one of the details he put out there that I was unaware of is that the comms were so bad that day that a lot of the working agents and assets within the crowd that I can now confirm to you, I know you know they were there, but I can now confirm to you were there, were actually using store-bought like walkie-talkies because the comms just totally melted down that day. That's how much detail this guy had. But you've been reporting on feds inside the crowd for a long time. So your thoughts on that whistleblower?
I mean, I can't wait to hear more. I think we are going to get more whistleblowers like that coming forward, especially as we sit and await the Department of Justice Inspector General Michael Horowitz's report that hopefully he will release before the election. FBI Director Chris Wray said a few weeks ago that that report is going to cover the use and number of confidential human sources. I'm hearing that it's a pretty significant number. But I think that that will just be another huge bombshell and revelation suggesting how deeply the government was involved in orchestrating, executing the events of January 6th, including, and I've covered this myself, I have video of CHSs who committed crimes that day, who assaulted police, who damaged property, who entered the building. So this is going to be a much bigger story. But yes, they were they were not just FBI CHSs, right? We know that there were
confidential human sources is what you're saying.
Correct. CHSs, which is, yes. Yeah. Informants is the common name for that, but also undercover DC Metro Police, plainclothes Capitol Police, DHS officers. I mean, you had numerous agencies there with plainclothes or undercover officers or informants on the ground. And the question, Dan, that we need to keep amplifying is, if you had all these law enforcement agents and offices, why did that happen? We were told everyone was caught off guard. Well, you weren't. Yes. So
And by the way, Julie's batting average on conspiracy theories is a solid 1,000 with about 725 at-bats. So, Julie's been talking about this forever, but you're correct. I want to get to one last piece of this with what the whistleblower told me. Excuse me. But there's only two scenarios. Either your undercover assets did not do their job at all that day and are completely incompetent, or a more nefarious thing, the undercover assets, whatever they may have been, assets, sources, agents, whatever, took part in this. There's no third scenario. But let me get to this because I don't want to run out of time. We're talking to Julie Kelly. Give her a follow at Julie_Kelly2 on X, Twitter. The guy, the whistleblower, told me another thing. He said, Dan, I'm reasonably confident that the guy who planted the bombs on January 6th, the pipe bombs at the Capitol Hill Club RNC and at the DNC where Kamala Harris was, he said, I'm reasonably confident this person was a government contractor. And I said, why? He said, because we were given a briefing immediately after these pipe bombs were found with details about a guy in a hoodie and basically told all hands on deck, go find this person. It's, you know, hinting it was some kind of MAGA terrorist and we got to find him because, you know, Julie was an insurrection, of course, if you believe the government story. And he said something interesting happened. He said 2 days later, we were told to stand down, given no explanation, emphasis his, at all. And he said an after action report he wrote up was he was told basically to make it go away. I mean, if the government at this point, I'm pretty convinced someone in the government knew that this was an inside job, these pipe bombs.
Right. And that is very revealing. And I think speaks to your suspicion that this was perhaps a training exercise gone awry, or others who have speculated that. And I need to be careful saying this because I don't want to implicate anyone who's innocent. But it's important to recall that the woman who found the RNC pipe bombs worked for FirstNet, which is the private public partnership, the first responders communication network that also was involved in January 6th, by the way, that she discovered the RNC pipe bomb as she was going to do her laundry that day, coincidentally 20 minutes before the joint session started at 1 o'clock, and also, of course, coinciding with the Ray Epps breach, exterior breach of the Capitol. The timing, as Darren Beatty has said, very suspicious, but also her involvement. What's the likelihood of a FirstNet contractor, which Carlin Younger was, FirstNet, who had received a $92 million grant from the FBI the month before, a few weeks actually before January 6th, now all of a sudden, just coincidentally, she goes to do her laundry. And then, as far as I don't think she's ever been interviewed by the FBI. She certainly was never interviewed by the January 6th Select Committee. Stephen D'Antuono, who headed the Washington field office, when he was asked about the person who discovered the pipe bomb, had that individual ever been interviewed by the FBI, he couldn't even remember. So this just adds to another layer of suspicion and seems to support perhaps that this individual discovered whoever was the government contractor.
Julie, it's just strange because the discoverers of these pipe bombs, the Capitol Hill police officer and this other person, if the insurrection narrative is real, are heroes, right? I mean, they stopped some MAGA terrorists. I mean, really, I don't understand why they're not. I'm not even being sarcastic about it. If the media narrative is real, I only got 30 seconds. But yeah, we're talking to Julie Kelly at Julie_Kelly2 on X. I think my training exercise, I know you know this, but my training exercise theory is not that it was an actual training exercise. I know you know this. It's that that's what's going to be the excuse later. They planted these bombs clearly to say, stop talking about the stolen election on certification. There's bombs out there. And then when what happened at the Capitol happened, they were like, damn, we don't need the bombs anymore. How do we make this go away? Let's just tell everyone it was a training exercise.
That's right.
I am absolutely certain that's what's going to happen. I'm telling you, I'm bet my right arm on it. Julie, you're the best. Thanks for coming on last minute. We always rely on you for legal analysis of these cases. Thanks so much.
Thanks for all your work, and thanks for covering mine, Dan.
You got it. Julie Kelly, man. There's nobody. She sits in the courtroom and watches this stuff. You would have never gotten that detail anywhere else. Judge Chutkan clearly annoyed that President Trump, Jim, has the cojones to mount a legal defense against a fake crime made up by the deep state. Man, on this guy. Crazy talk. Next, one of my fiery rants. I was probably in a mood for this one. You're going to want to check it out. I sleep on a Helix mattress. Sleep's super important for your overall wellness. You're sharper. You're better the next day. I sleep on a Helix because I love it. The Helix is my second one. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including their award-winning Lux and Ultra Premium Elite collections. The Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress designed for growing bodies. Take the Helix Sleep Quiz. Find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix offers a 100-night trial, a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Every Helix mattress is a hybrid design, combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It's a perfect combination of comfort and support. Folks, I wouldn't sleep on anything different. It's an amazing mattress. The setup's fast and easy. Get 25% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for listeners. How? Go to helixsleep.com/Dan. That's H-E-L-I-X. Do it today. Get a better mattress. Get some good sleep. That's helixsleep.com/Dan. It's their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. What's the government done for you, basically? Listen and find out. Folks, listen, Kamala Harris is a hardened leftist. This is not a joke. Joe Biden, I'm not going to say Joe Biden's not a leftist. Joe Biden was a leftist, but Joe Biden was weak. The reason Joe Biden advocated and pushed for communist-style economic plans like the Inflation Reduction Act and other things is not because he really believes it. He did it because he's weak, and he realized the political epicenter in his party is no longer the moderate Democrat. Those people are a dying brand, okay? It's done. He realized the political power and popularity that it was with the AOC kind of left-wing lunatic crowd. So Joe Biden was weak. It doesn't make the outcome of what he did any worse. Whether you advocate for communist policies and sign a bunch of communist-style bills because you meant it or didn't means nothing to me. All that matters is what you did, not what you were thinking. But it is critical you understand that Kamala Harris is different. She is a devout San Francisco-style liberal, and we are on in San Francisco, and you see what they've done to that great city. This is who she is. There is not going to be any prerequisite for people to get into the White House to have to sell them on why communism matters. You see what I'm getting at here? She's going to invite you in if you're a communist like AOC or the rest of the crew because she actually believes it. She actually believes it. I want you to take a moment. I don't like doing this, and I'm sorry, but Jim, cut five if you would. Jim's a little tired today, by the way, folks. So send him your thoughts at JJ Verde on X. No, seriously, poor guy. His dog is in bad shape. So, you know, dogs are like your kids. I've got a dog myself. Jim's been up all night. He's a good guy taking care of his dog. Serious. So I'm sorry, Jim. I hope you don't mind. I put that out there. So the dog, hopefully he'll be okay. But the dog was coughing all night. Poor Jim is tired. So I feel kind of bad. But yeah, he always shows up. Always shows up. He's always ready to bat third. So, and we love dogs. I mean, we love dogs and cats too. Some of you get that. Ducks too and geese. I like, they're nice. Quack, quack. Just going to let that brew for a second. What? Okay, back to serious time. Because that's what we do on this show. Justin knows the trick, and so does Jim, right? If there's a slow news week, I got to put out an interesting show for you. So what I'll do is I'll use the slow news time to go and do some really educational, instructional stuff. And I don't mean like Bongino University 101 or something. I mean, if there's not a really crazy news cycle, I'll go out and find a Yuri Bezmenov clip, Milton Friedman, Thomas Sowell, and I'll take the opportunity to talk about big global issues like the conflict divisions, as Thomas Sowell calls it, between liberals and conservatives. And the shows always do well. I am not playing this Thomas Sowell clip because the news cycle is slow, okay? We've got a president who just was shot in the head. We've got the January 6th pipe bomber story, a debate tonight. We've got polls shifting all over. This is not a slow news cycle. But I need you to listen to this. It's about 50 seconds of the greatest economic philosopher of our time, Thomas Sowell. It's about government, quote, doing something. And I want you to keep this minute long or so clip in your head tonight as you watch two candidates on stage who could not be more disparate in their views or different in their views. You've got one, Kamala Harris, who is unquestionably a socialist, arguing that government's going to solve the problems you individuals can't. And you've got another candidate who thinks the exact opposite and is governed that way. He cut your taxes to give you back more of your money. He cut government red tape like no president in modern history to give you back control over your lives. He was a forceful advocate of school choice. His education secretary was the primary, one of the big funders of the school choice movement. You have one who believes in government solving your problems, and one who believes the cause of your problems is the very same entity. Keep this clip in your head as you're watching tonight. Check this out.
When people say things like the government has to do something, I say, have you ever studied what happens when the government does something compared to what happens when they don't do anything? And for 150 years, the government of the United States did nothing when there was a depression. No depression during all those 150 years was ever as bad as the Great Depression of the 1930s, in which the government did more than it had ever done before in its entire history. The stock market crash occurred in October 1929.
Right.
2 months later, unemployment peaked at 9%. And then it started declining. And by June of 1930, it was down to 6.3%. That was when the first government intervention took place. And within 6 months, it was in double digits. And it stayed in double digits for the entire decade of the 1930s.
Brings up a pretty good point, folks. Now, Thomas Sowell's a genius. His book, Vision of the Anointed, pretty much changed my life. I can't recommend his writings and his videos enough. But go to any video platform if you're bored. Today's probably not the day because you're busy. We got a debate tonight. But when a news cycle is slow, and go and just listen. Rumble, YouTube, whatever. Just listen to the genius of this guy. He was once a liberal. I don't know if you know that. Earlier in his career. And you know what converted him? Yeah, he was basically a socialist. He was given an assignment as a communist to study the effects of minimum wage. And he actually got a hold of the data. And he realized he'd been lied to by Marxists forever. And is now probably the premier economic philosopher for individual liberty and freedom. Let me ask you a question tonight as you're watching on stage. Kamala Harris, who's going to argue for more government doing stuff. What kind of stuff's the government done for you? Let me answer as a liberal. I'll debate myself. Well, Dan, they provided for a retirement. Really? It's bankrupt. No, it's not. Okay. Go to your phone right now. We do data, correct? You're a liberal. I know you're inherently probably pretty stupid, but you can pick up a phone and do this. Put Social Security Actuaries Bankruptcy 2033. Oh, look at. So the government, which has stolen trillions of dollars from you, trillions of dollars from generations of Americans, it said, we are going to put it, Jim, in a lockbox. Not only has nothing in the lockbox, it's all been spent, but is actually having a hard time funding it with tax revenues from what it didn't spend. And now we'll have to give you less in just a few years because everything it's spent you gave them is gone and they don't even have enough with the money they have now to replace what they stole from you. You're like, man, if Morgan Stanley did that, they'd be in jail. Yeah, correct. They would. Okay, so let's throw that out. The government's done nothing for your retirement. They basically stole your money and spent it and have no lockbox whatsoever. What else has government done for you? Like, government's definitely helped me out, you know. They have like Medicaid, Medicare, and that's great. Yeah, Medicare's going broke too, and Medicaid's currently bankrupting the government. Also, when you look at the data on Medicaid, you realize this really weird thing that the outcomes, post-surgical outcomes and all kinds of outcomes for various diseases are far worse when the government's helping. Matter of fact, I remember this study, was it Vetter? There was a study I read when I was running for office that was so it was earth-shaking to me that the outcomes for people on Medicaid, post-surgical outcomes of this one study, they were worse for people on Medicaid than people with private insurance, which you'd probably say, yeah, okay, because private insurance and free market insurance always going to outperform the government. I mean, even dopey liberals will quietly acknowledge that. That's not the zinger. The zinger was the patients on Medicaid had worse outcomes than people with no insurance at all. Think about that. Trillions of dollars given to the government to manage healthcare. And you had a better chance post-surgical outcomes if you had no insurance at all. You want to talk about the government sucking? The government sucks at everything. Outside of our military, and in some places, a functioning court system, the government sucks at everything. And you are going to have two candidates on stage tonight. One who epitomizes the sucking in a way never epitomized in modern American history. She was given a job. Hey, can you go manage the border as the borders are? We had about 2.5 million illegal crossings in 4 years under Trump. She was like, oh, I'll manage it. We've had 8 to 10 million under her. I'll manage it by allowing four times as many people in illegally. What? Can you tell me one thing the government's done right? Government's going to eradicate poverty. That's really strange. Poverty levels have stayed relatively consistent despite, again, tens of trillions of dollars at the federal, state, and local level to, quote, eradicate poverty. Well, the government can definitely manage schools. Oh, they can. Our public schools in the OECD countries, the economically advanced countries around the world, are at the bottom. No, we're not even at the median or the mode or even the average. We're at the bottom because the government sucks. Whenever the government does something, you get worked. No matter what you think of these two candidates, there is zero question that there is only one candidate on stage that is going to reduce the footprint of the sucky garbage federal government in your life. And that's Trump. The other one wants you to crave the suck, enjoy the suck. She wants you to embrace the suck. And she wants more of the suck. That's Kamala Harris. Absolutely loves crap garbage government in your life. Folks, when the government tells you they're about to do something, you run for the hills. Jim, I want to play this one last clip, quick, if you don't mind. Cut 7. Here's Joe Biden. Their signature plan they're running on, the Inflation Reduction Act, which they told you would reduce inflation, admitting that it was really the crappy, garbage, green boondoggle act, and that they lied to you. And this is why inflation went up when they pumped all this money into these million and billion dollar Green New Deal companies. Check this out.
My investments, the most significant climate change law ever. And by the way, it is a $369 billion bill. It's called we should have named it what it was. But at any rate.
There you go. I love it when they say the quiet part out loud. It was a big green boondoggle. That's what happens when the government does something. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope this answers a lot of questions for you. Tune in Monday at Rumble at 11 a.m. live and on the radio show starting at noon Eastern for more.
You just heard Dan Bongino.